السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. صلاة على محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
My young brothers in the back there, every night when I hear you guys screaming and yelling and playing after the program, I get very happy. But when I ask for a salawat for some reason, you guys get quiet on me. Now I said young brothers, but the guys in the front I heard more so than ever, but it's all good. First of all, let me say it is an honor and a privilege for me to be part of this program, which is very important to us today. It's always a challenge to speak in front of scholars. May Allah bless all of you, inshallah, keep you in the path of Allah. Increase your tawfiq, your enlightenment. At the same time, let me initially mention to all of you that it's important for us to kind of broaden our thinking, to break our cocoons, to open up our doors of the masajids to people outside our faith, whether it be non-Shias or non-Muslims. It's important for us to be ambassadors of humanity right now. What this world lacks right now is basic and fundamental humanity. And we, not only as members of the Islamic faith, but whether you are a Jew or a Christian or any member of the Abrahamic religion, it's important for you to understand that your connection is with that God who is the God of all of humanity. And when you understand that very fundamental point, you in essence become a manifestation of that attribute of God, and thus a huge responsibility is placed on your shoulders. So these type of events are extremely important. They're scarce, there are not enough of them throughout the year, but it's important at least within the first 10 days of this beautiful month that we open up our doors and let the world know, let the world see what we do here every single night. Their image and their view that they get from CNN and BBC and Fox News should be removed from their minds. Let them witness it, let them come and see, let them know that here we only speak about humanity, here we only speak about justice. And then can we say that we walk the path of Hussein? And then can we say that we are individuals who are the followers of the true Muhammad in Islam? Now having said that, we are here to discuss a specific mission. And specifically one aspect of that mission. Look, when you discuss a mission of any type, any revolution of any type, it's important for us to understand the purpose and the motive behind that mission. Quite logic. Imam Hussein's mission had three main purposes to it. One was freedom, of course. One was awareness. And number three was justice. If I had time, we would discuss all three of them. But today, and based on the topic of this speech, we'll discuss freedom. They said that Imam Hussein went to Karbala, left the confines and comfort of Medina to go to Karbala for freedom of the Ummah, for freedom of the masses. What was he freeing them from is the question. And ayah, is there freedom today or not? One salat please, Allah Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. See, we believe that slavery was abolished. We believe that slaves no longer exist in our society. And this limited definition of slavery has allowed us to believe that yes, maybe that in those old modern or old ancient days of slavery, in that aspect, yes, today there aren't individuals who own slaves. However, slavery very much exists today. Let's not be fooled for a moment. The difference was that in those days, one person was the master, one person was a slave. In those days, it could be that one person owned several slaves. Every slave had a certain duty. But today, the slavery that exists is that the master and the slave are the exact same person. How is that possible? How is it possible that one man is the master, that same man is the slave? You see, this discussion has to go back to something called the nafs inside every single human being. And let me very briefly discuss with all of you, it's very important that we understand this moving forward. Within every single human being, doesn't matter what color you are, what gender you are, what religion you are, what language you speak, how old you are, inside every single human being, there is an existence called the nafs. And in that nafs, there are four powers. See, we have five senses of the body, four powers of the soul. And one of them, it's called quwwat-e ghazabiyya, the power of attraction. Follow me for a second, please. Of the four powers that exist within every soul of every man in this world, is the power and the faculty of attraction. Anything that you are attracted to, whether it's a pair of shoes that I have to have, whether it's the latest and greatest Coach purse or Louis Vuitton purse or whatever the case may be, I have to have it. Why? Because she has it. That attraction comes from this inner source. That attraction we have to food, to the gender, to the religion, all comes from this faculty of attraction which exists inside every single person. Alright? Similarly, we have faculties that are repulsion, faculties that are common sense, and faculties that are imagination. Shahwa, aql, and wahm. And again, these require, you know, a whole set of speeches just to understand what each and every one does. In the interest of time, it's important for us to understand that we have within ourselves the power of attraction. Now, Islam comes about. The Prophet 23 years struggles to establish Islam amongst the ignorant. And if we can boil down the Prophet's mission to one aspect, it is to bring humanity to humans. What's called insaniyat in our language. What does that mean? I'm a human being. Am I not treading the path of humanity? Obviously not. When we further look into this soul of ours and the powers that exist within the soul of ours, we know the definition of a human being according to Islam and the mahnat and the efforts of 23 years of our Prophet is a person who within the power of his attraction doesn't become a slave of that power, becomes the master of that power. Islam doesn't allow you to go after everything you want. Islam says, look, you have a power within you that no other creation has, called the power of aql, common sense, intellect, logic. That's what makes us better than animals. If we were individuals who would run after everything we want, then we are animals, in essence. What distinguishes us away from animals is the faculty of logic. And logic's only function is to make sure that these other three powers, namely the attraction power, is guided properly. Islam is not against desire. Islam is not against those carnal desires that exist within all of you. Islam says to direct it properly. Do it the halal way. Islam says don't enjoy this world. Enjoy this life. But do it the halal way. Make lots of money. Do it the halal way. Make sure that it is powered and it is nurtured and it is led by the aql. So we know that a true human being, an insan in the eyes of the Prophet of Allah, is somebody whose power of attraction is led by his power of in the intellect. Now, slavery tells us that that same man is a slave to his desires. And that a slave is a person who is not run by his intellect, unfortunately, but that power of attraction is so strong, he in fact leads the entire mission, whether it's logic, whether it's repulsion, whether it's creativity. And this slavery of today exists here in the West tenfold. It's affected every single person, whether it's you and I, whether it's US presidents, whether it's powerful celebrities, or whether it's the best golfer in the world. Yeah, I said it. It doesn't matter. It attracts everybody. You could have everything this world has to offer, but there's still a little bit more that you want. And for that reason alone, enslavement of the soul requires a person to free that person from its own slavery. And man is the master and man is the slave. When Imam Hussein existed, when he existed, during the rule of that tyrant leader known as Yazid, Yazid was a man who was a rabid dog, they would say, who wanted everything and anything at his fingertips, who was a slave to his desires, and the people around him were following his suit. So now what happens is we need a revolution, we need a mission, a person, a group, somebody to come in and release the chains of this slavery. Let the world know, look, this is not the way you live your life. This is not the way you enslave yourself. And for that reason alone, we call him the father of freedom. Salat bihi Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. You see, when you free yourself from desire, when you free yourself from your own enslavement, what's left is a sense of sincerity. You become a khalis individual, as they say, a sincere individual. And let's look at the effects of sincerity again throughout history. I know history is really dry, guys. It's really boring. Let's try to spice it up a bit and try to bring it to today. But we can't run from history, unfortunately. They say the problem with history is that it repeats itself sometimes. Let's try to avoid that by learning from history. The first battle that existed in Islam was the Battle of Badr, between the enemies of Islam and the Prophet's army. And Islam was victorious in that first battle. Our books tell us that there were 313 members of the Prophet's army against hundreds and thousands of Abu Sufyan's army. How is it possible that an army of 313 were to defeat an army of hundreds and thousands? The Quran says in Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 249. Kam min fi'atin qalilatin ghalabat fi'atan kathiratin bi'iznillah. We have seen so many times that a small group has defeated a large group. Bi'iznillah, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only factor in that war that had allowed the Muslims to defeat their enemies was sincerity. Wallah, nothing else but sincerity. They were sincere in their following of the Prophet of Allah. They were sincere in their worship. Why do I tell you that? The next war after it, Uhud, they were defeated. And why were they defeated? Were they too weak? No. The actual opposite happened. They got stronger as the years went on. So how were they defeated? There was a sense of a lack of sincerity there. We know that the history tells us that they weren't after winning the war for Islam's sake. They wanted to beat the enemy so they can collect the loot, collect the money that comes with winning a war. And so they turned their back on the orders of the Prophet and they lost the war. So sincerity's effect comes in about when you remove that enslavement of your desires. And let's bring that to Karbala. And let's see that yes, 72 individuals went to Karbala against 30,000, some books say. And yes, on the outside, Imam Hussein lost the war. His head was severed, his body was trampled, his sons and his brothers and nephews were all killed. But as one scholar would say, it was Karbala. It was this mission that we remember that redefined who is victorious and who is defeated. It was this war, they say, where the blood defeated the sword, not the sword defeated the blood. Because today, right now, 1400 years ago, after that incident, when the new moon of Muharram is seen, we drape our walls in black, we drape ourselves in black, we remember Hussein. Can anyone tell me where Yazid's buried? Does anyone even have a friend who's named Yazid? So you tell me, who's won the battle, who's won the war, that's up to you to decide. But it is bi-iznillah where we have seen a small group conquer a large group. And we've seen that today, whether it's 3 years ago in a war in the Middle East, And we've seen that today as well, countless times. Salawat ala Muhammad. So what's important for us to understand is these historical dates are not to be left in history, number one. Do not believe for a moment that these programs we have year in and year out are to be habitual by any stretch of the imagination. Or adat, or something we do because it's cultural. Or something we brought from back home as some of our youth believe. No, these fully understand and be aware of why this happened, it can revolutionize our lives. And if each person is revolutionized, communities are revolutionized. And that's the whole idea here. We live in the West here. And we live as part of a society that doesn't like Islam. There's no secrets about it. There's thousands and millions of dollars being spent on making sure Islam crumbles. And the more money they spent on destroying us, the stronger we become. We're annoying, we don't go away. I sometimes feel I'm in the US and there's some restrictions here. It's important for you to understand that hopelessness doesn't exist in our deen. You know that of the 50 greatest sins that are listed in some of the books, of the 50 greatest sins that one can commit, the one after shirk, the one after adding someone else to worship, is hopelessness in Islam. We don't have it in our system. It doesn't exist. We cannot call ourselves followers and believers in Allah and for a moment become hopeless. We are connected to an external source that is forever lit. If they try to dim our candle, fine, we'll go back and get it lit again. Yes. You try to intimidate us with death? Fatamanna al-maut in kuntum sadiqeen, the Quran says. That you want to know who the sadiqeen are, who the truthful are? Ask them, do they ask for death? Or do they run from death? You know, shahadat, martyrdom for us, is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when you can't intimidate someone with death, then at that moment, then you've lost that battle, I'm sorry. So that's why we don't go away. We kind of stick around like a bad relative who comes during the holidays. No, they'll come for 2 days, they'll stay for 2 weeks. So we have to understand as youngsters, please, my youth, you guys are the future. I know you guys hate hearing that. It's the truth, though. You are the future. I know some of you are like, look, I didn't ask to be the future, man. Don't put it on my shoulders. I have enough to deal with already. I'm not married. I don't have any kids. Come on. But the reality of it is that you are the future of this religion. And this religion will prosper. Always remember that. In Nadin and the law of Islam. The one that is closest to Allah in terms of a deen is Islam. Now whether you take it as the actual literal meaning of Islam, meaning submission, or the religion of Islam, either way, we are included in that ayat of the Quran. That's right. So when the smoke settles, when the blood stops being shed in Palestine, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, because right now things seem very hopeless, wherever you see Muslim blood being shed, how is it possible that we're going to be victorious? But once that settles, once that all goes away, you have to understand that the one system of belief that will remain standing is Islam. And the question I always ask is, where will you and I be when that happens? When the Imam comes and creates a society of justice, where will you and I be? Are we going to be with the Imam or against the Imam? Salat ala Muhammad wa Allah. So I don't want to take up too much of your time. We have an open panel as well, and we started late, so we're not here to take up your entire day on Saturday. As a recap, and then we move towards the open forum, we have to understand, first of all, that these historical events are not to be kept in history. Bring Karbala to today. Understand who the Yazid of your time is today, and become the Hussein of today. Now, no one's asking you to strap on a gun and go fight. No one's asking you that. Do what you can in this part of the world to make the world aware of what's happening. Don't hide behind curtains. Don't hide behind your name. Don't say, look, man, I'm not one of those guys over there. They're a little bit different. And yes, there are some black sheep in our religion, no doubt, and they're very tough to defend. But I'm saying overall, whenever and wherever you can, in schools, in work, wherever you can, defend the deen. Be a proud Muslim. This apologetic nature is not who we are. We don't get scared of individuals. They don't intimidate us. But with sincerity, with a sense of humanity, invite people to the path. Don't throw them off the path, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this qaleel worship of ours, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there is so much bloodshed, so much injustice in the world. The only solution that we see is the coming of your 12th Imam. Ya Allah, please hasten the reappearance of your 12th Imam. If we are doing anything to slow down that reappearance, God forbid, may Allah forgive our sins and may He give us tawfiq to not repeat those sins. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.